Well, hi, everyone. Welcome to our Wednesday night Bible study. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Father, we're grateful for the time we can study your word, and I pray that you'd sink it deep into our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. We're in our Bible studies for life, and we're looking at today, committed to worship. And the point of our study tonight is that God deserves our worship and our praise. Our first question says, when have you been swept up in a moment of excitement? I don't know, maybe at a football game or a sports event, even the birth of one of your children. What an exciting time. How about getting ready to go to church? I tell you what, you can get swept up, at least I do anyway. See, we give praise to things that we love. But nothing and no one deserves our worship and our praise more than God does. Our verse today is in Psalm 99. Let me read the first three verses. The Lord reigns. Let the people tremble. He is enthroned between the cherubim. Let the earth quake. The Lord is great in Zion. He is exalted above all the peoples. Let them praise you for your awe-inspiring name. He is holy. Folks, God's desire to worship has been placed in each of us. That's the reason he created us, to worship him. And we are drawn to worship, but to worship anything or anyone other than worshiping the Lord God, you miss the mark. God loves us, and he wants the best for us. And the best is the one who created us. So where do we begin even in our worship of the Lord? I mean, God's beauty is infinite. His majesty has no end. And I know that once we get to heaven, we'll be able to discover through eternity the wonders of our Lord and be able to worship him in all of his amazing beauty. But we can worship him here and now too. We praise God for his holiness. The end of verse 3 says, he is holy. God alone sits on his throne, and he's surrounded by his angelic attendants, the cherubim. Folks, nobody else sits on that throne. God alone is exalted and lifted high. Nobody else comes even close. God deserves our praise because no one's above him. No one is his equal. I mean, he stands apart in his holiness. That second question says, when have you been awed by who God is or what he has done? Folks, when we look at the created world around us, I'm not talking about the things in this world that man has created. I'm looking at God's creation, the stars in the galaxy at night. I mean, you go all the way down to the atomic particles in our bodies. Our God could create those? Yes. And he's the only one who could have done that. So why should we praise God for his greatness and his power? The answer is simple. He's all-powerful, and we're not. Romans 8:31 says, what then shall we say to these things? Since God is for us, who can be against us? We worship him because he created us to worship, and he's worthy of our worship. Again, in Psalm 99, verse 4, it says, the mighty king loves justice. You have established fairness. You have administered justice and righteousness in Jacob. Exalt the Lord our God. Bow in worship at his footstool. He is holy. Look at the things that God has done. I mean, everything that we can look at as far as God has done should motivate us to praise him. His justice, his fairness, his righteousness. Now, folks, we all value justice. Because all of us have been on the receiving end of unjust things, haven't we? People are selfish, sometimes even mean. And we face injustice when something is misunderstood or maybe wrong. We're wrongfully blamed for something. But even in that injustice, we need to remember the one who is never unjust. We need to remember the Lord. God will see that justice is served. Remember, His justice is not always on our timetable. Certainly when Christ returns, He's going to deal with all the injustice in the world. Peter said, "The Lord is not slow concerning His promise, as some regard slowness, but as being patient toward us, because He does not wish for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance." God understands the injustice we're facing. I mean, Jesus experienced the greatest injustice ever. He never committed a single sin, and yet through an unjust arrest, an unjust trial, and yes, an unjust crucifixion, He became our sin so that in Him we might be made right with God. He willingly bore our sin and our shame so that we could inherit eternal life through Him. So we can praise God because His justice and His righteousness are now ours in the Lord Jesus. Isaiah 30:18 says, "Therefore the Lord is waiting to show you mercy and is rising up to show you compassion, for the Lord is a just God. All who wait patiently for Him are happy." So what should our response be? Well, Psalm 99, verse 5, "Exalt the Lord our God, bow in worship at His footstool. He is holy." Even in the midst of injustice, we can praise Him. In the midst of difficult moments in our life, we can still worship God. Why? Because He's trustworthy. Look at verse 6. "Moses and Aaron were among His priests, Samuel also among those calling on His name. They called to the Lord, He answered them. He spoke to them in a pillar of cloud. They kept His decrees and the statutes He gave them. Lord our God, You answered them. You were a forgiving God to them, but an avenger of their sinful actions. Exalt the Lord our God. Bow and worship at His holy mountain, for the Lord our God is holy." Here David gives us some more reasons why we should be committed to worshiping God. He hears us, and He answers us. The wisest, most powerful being in the entire universe answers the cries of His people. This all-powerful God chose to answer us. God answered Israel each time they called on Him, and He answered because He is a forgiving God, but He is an avenger of their sinful actions. What's amazing is that God doesn't avenge our wrongs with harm or with anger. He avenges our wrongs with love and forgiveness. Now, in your books on page 119 is a section called Worship Always. And the statement says, "What are some practical ways for you to include worship in the following areas of your life?" And then it gives you four. At work, while you're driving, during conversations, or when life gets quiet. And you know what, Lord, what the Lord has shared with me and I want to share with you is no matter what situation we're in, we can praise the Lord. Psalm 22:3 says, "Thou art holy, You inhabit the praises of Your people." God wants our worship. He wants our praise. And a glimpse of God will save you. To gaze at Him, He will set you apart. Now on page 120, we have the Live It Out section. How will you live out your commitment to God through worship and praise? It gives you some suggestions, and let me share them with you. Make Him first in your worship. Praise Him for His love and His justice. We need to set aside some time to really worship Him. And we are to worship Him with all we have. This is not a haphazard thing. This is something we are concentrated on. And let our worship lead us to a closer walk with the Lord. Now, although we're not going to have in-person worship this coming Sunday, remember what the Scripture says in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching." Folks, not only are we to worship privately, we're to worship corporately. Let's worship the Lord together. Folks, we give praise to so many things, but nothing deserves our worship and our praise like our God. Amen? Well, next week, we're going to be looking at being committed to His mission. What's His mission? Go into all the world and preach the gospel. So, although we won't see you this Sunday in worship service because we are going to be online, we'll see you next Sunday. Remember, this coming Friday, we'll have our treasured words. Folks, God is good all the time. See you then.